Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, the season before Lent, we're talking about just reminders of things we should know about. And I wanted to do a two-part series on holiness. We did one part last week, and today I want to talk about the contagiousness of holiness, a two-part series. And so I want to talk to you about this because, well, it boils down to who God is. God is holy and God is love. Everything else from that about God springs from that. So if God is holy, it's probably a good thing to talk about it. I also want to talk about holiness because God takes our holiness seriously. God calls us as a people to be holy. We heard that in the scripture today. Be holy, for I am holy. God takes our growth in holiness to his own heart. I also want to talk about holiness because, well, it leads us into the life that God wants us to be, to live. Growing in loving others, growing in holiness, growth in holiness leads to an abundant life. It wars against our anxiety and it brings us peace. It wars against the things that would stand against our well-being. Holiness brings about the purposes of God in our lives. You know, we talk about discipleship a lot around here. We're called to be disciples of Jesus. Another way of expressing that would be apprentices of Jesus. We're called to be an apprentice of Jesus. Now, the question is when we talk about discipleship or we talk about being an apprentice, what are we being an apprentice to when we apprentice to Jesus? It's not car mechanics, right? You follow Jesus, that doesn't automatically make you a car mechanic, right? You got that. So if we're apprenticing to Jesus, what are we apprenticing in? And part of one of the ways of expressing that is that we're apprenticing in a life of holiness. See, here's what you need to know. There's no growth in your spiritual life unless there's a growth in holiness. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen unless we grow in holiness. Our call as a disciple of Jesus is towards holiness. And yet I get that it's an unpopular word. When you're talking to your friends who don't know Jesus, it's probably not a word you want to use because it'll be misunderstood. But as you talked about what you want him to do in your life, well, that's a whole other matter. Holiness is a really helpful word. You know, if your friends say, hey man, why don't you come out with us and let's get blasted together? Well, you know, you probably don't want to say, no thanks, I'm trying to be holy, right? Probably not going to go over well, right? Probably a better answer would be, no thanks, I'll be the designated driver though, right? That's probably a better answer. But when you're talking to God, it's good and right to say, God, I want you to move in my life in a way that makes me holy. So let me walk you through the basics of holiness. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says. It says this, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. A little later on, we're going to be celebrating communion together. And if you're watching online, I would encourage you to get some juice and bread or water and crackers, whatever you have to celebrate with us. We're going to be celebrating communion. And what we're celebrating is what God has done for us and in us because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And so when God says, you have been made holy, he's talking about a heart thing. If you have given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and at the core of who you are, he has made your spirit holy by his Holy Spirit. You are a new creation. At the core of who you are, you're holy. That's the work of God. If you understand what God has done for you, then there is something that springs up from within us. Now, Peter's writing to the church in Asia Minor. He recognizes that they were going through all kinds of persecution and trouble because of their faith. And here's what he says about them, 1 Peter chapter 1. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There's this joy that comes from knowing what God has done on the inside. Even when the circumstances of life are difficult on the outside, God is in you, he's changed you at the core of who you are. But just following these verses in the same chapter, here's what Peter goes on to say, and you heard it read by Betty. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So, obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who calls you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, notice verse 13. Set your hope in the grace to be brought to you. If you're going to get into heaven, it won't be based on your personal holiness. It will be based on God's grace, his undeserved favor towards you, what he has done for you and in you and his gift to you. It's not about something you've done. So our hope is not based in our personal holiness, but it's based in the grace of God who has transformed our heart and life. But then he goes on, verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. You see, people, you used to live in ignorance about what is evil. You desired what was evil. It says, don't conform to those desires any longer. In other words, don't do the evil things that you wanted to do before you came to know Jesus. Peter says, be holy in all you do. See, holiness starts on the inside, but it is demonstrated by our actions. You can't separate those two things. It starts on the inside, but it's demonstrated in our actions. Now, this is where a number of people went wrong. Shout out to the Pharisees here. If holiness is seen in our actions, then we need to create a list of actions that are good and a list of actions that are bad. And when we do that, we can check our checklist and, oh, we did that's good and that's good. And we can check our other checklist. Oh, we stayed away from that. That's bad and that's bad. But when you do that, here's what happens. Our list becomes more important than our hearts. Are there holy actions and unholy actions? Well, sure, of course there are. But here's what you need to know about holiness. At the core of what holiness is, all holiness is relational holiness. Some of it has to do with a relationship with God. Some of it has to do with a relationship with ourselves. But most of our holiness has to do with a relationship with others. It's about how we treat other people. Now, there are certain rules you can make when it comes to treating other people. Don't steal, don't lie, don't live in envy. But rules will only get you so far in a relationship, right? You don't live a relationship by rules. You live out of your heart of love for other people. It's about how we treat other people. Remember at the core of who you are, you're holy, but your holiness is seen by what you do. Just as the one who calls you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Holiness is expressed by what you do. Holiness is expressed primarily in relationship. Be a person of integrity and love people, if you want to boil it down. Be a person of integrity and love people. Remember, at the core of who you are, you're holy, but But God's in the process of taking what is at the core of who you are and breaking through the crud of our habits and our responses and our insecurities. And he's breaking through that so that we can express holiness with purity in our lives. Be a person of integrity and love people. Now that's a little different than the holiness I grew up with. Holiness was about not dancing, or about not drinking, or sometimes about not even socializing with people who did, right? You know, there was a saying I heard while I was growing up, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls who do, right? Like, I mean, what's up with that, right? But now, listen, if you're just predisposed to a particular sin, if you go to a particular place, then don't go to those places, okay? But if holiness is about relationship, then some of those places are the very places we'll end up in. I was asked by a friend of mine to teach a class on preaching at a Bible school out east. So I was talking about my habits in preparing sermons. And at the time, I had kids at home, and my office was like it was just was a traffic zone there. And so to concentrate, what I would do is I would go out to the local pub, and I would write my sermons in the local pub. Sometimes I'd write it in the local alehouse, and I would write my sermons there. See, and it helped a lot. I figured, you know, when I'm writing this, if it can't be understood by the people who are around me, probably needs to be rewritten, so it kept me on track. So teaching this class on preaching, I was talking about writing my sermons in a pub, and this lovely little young girl raises her hand and says, You write sermons in a pub, but I thought we were called to be holy. See, to her, holiness was about where you went, what you touched. How could I be holy when the people around me weren't? But God's vision of holiness is something far greater than that. God loves people. Instead of being worried about being sullied by the world, our call is to be in the world as the holy people of God. I want to play you a part of a sermon by Miriam Swanson. I used some of her stuff last week when I taught about Isaiah 6. She tells a story much better than I do. So she's talking about holiness as a way to transform society. Miriam is a Brit who married an American and helps churches reach out to university students with the love of Jesus. So let's give this 5-minute clip a listen.
So I've got a friend who's a theologian who grew up in Antigua, and he grew up in the holiness and purity movements of Antigua. And he's made it like his life's work to understand and teach on holiness. And so when we heard from the Lord about this holiness word, and we're like, oh, don't know where to start, don't know who to go to. Lot about it in the Bible is God's first name, but not sure who to ask about it. We went to this guy, Calvin Samuel, because he like wrote books on it and stuff. And he gave me a really helpful analogy. So I'm crediting him because it's not mine. But no copyright in the kingdom, so let's go with it. This is the analogy that Calvin gave me for holiness, and it really helped us understand why the Lord would invite us into holiness as what awakening looks like. Okay, so there are some different ways of imagining holiness, and they actually kind of relate to some of the people that you'll see mentioned in the New Testament. So you can see holiness. Okay, this is the analogy, like, bear with me. Imagine a pair of white skinny jeans. Okay? White skinny jeans. The sort of thing I can't wear because I will drop spaghetti bolognese on it, or I will naturally gravitate towards dogs, and that never goes well. or I will simply be writing with a pen and it will end up all over my leg. So white skinny jeans, something I can't wear, but please picture them, okay? You can view holiness like a pair of white skinny jeans, okay? And if you wear white skinny jeans in public, it really affects your behavior, okay? When you're standing around people out in the foyer with coffee, you are aware. You can't just sit down on public transport. You can't just eat where you like, with who you like. Toddlers, they are not part of your story. You cannot be around certain people, eating certain things, doing certain things. You can't just sit with them there. It, you know, you've got to keep your whites white, right? Holiness can be seen as something pure and delicate and fragile that can get messed up by the dirty world. Shout out to the Pharisees at this point, our dear friends the Pharisees. They take holiness really seriously. But the Pharisees see holiness a little bit like wearing white skinny jeans. Now there's another religious group who saw holiness as total separation. John the Baptist, being in the wilderness, could have been a holiness move because he wanted to stay so pure he took himself out of the world, out of sight. The Pharisees were like, holiness is pure and needs to be separate, but I want it to be seen. So the Pharisees would be the kind of guys that would walk around in their white skinny jeans, but they won't go too near you if you're eating pretzels covered in cheese. That was an American reference. I don't know if that's a thing, but you guys seem to have pretzels about everything. And you sort of put cheese everywhere, don't you? And peanut butter, praise Jesus. Anyway, so the Pharisees walk around in their white skinny jeans, but they really will pay attention to who they sit with, what they eat, who they touch, and who can go near them. Because we're pure. And we're holy, and don't you mess me and my righteousness up. Calvin says there's another way to view holiness in Scripture, and the analogy he uses for this is, what if holiness isn't the white skinny jeans? What if it is the bleach that made them white in the first place? What if holiness is an offensive, transformative power that everything it touches, it makes holy? Just like you have to lock your bleach away because it's dangerous. Like if you spill that thing on your blue jeans, you're in big trouble. That's a fashion nightmare. Actually, maybe it's in now, I don't know. So if holiness is the bleaching agent that made the jeans white in the first place, the best way that bleach is used is you pour it out on the dirt. You want to see bleach work best? Pour it out on dirt. Pour it out where it's needed most. Shout out to the Jesus way. See, Jesus takes holiness really seriously too, just like the Pharisees. But if Jesus sees holiness, the presence of God, the holiness of God in him, like a bleaching agent, then he makes it his mission to sit in those places with those people, eating that food, touching that person, that body, that getting involved in that situation where the Pharisees wouldn't go near because of their white jeans. Do you see how that changes the posture of why holiness might actually be what awakening looks like?
Instead of white skinny jeans, I had her tell the story rather than me. I couldn't tell the white skinny jeans story. instead of white skinny jeans, we're bleach. Instead of worrying about getting dirty, we look at the impact we can have on those around us. 1 Peter 1:15, but just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. Can you do things that are not holy? Of course. Do you conform to the evil desires you had? No. But how did Jesus do holiness? Mark chapter 2. So while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, that's Matthew, many of the tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. And there were many who followed him. Now, while the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? You see, in Jesus' culture, the people you ate with seem to be indicate, especially for one who would be known as a prophet, the people who would be at the Last Supper, the in heaven. So, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "Is it not the healthy who need a doctor? It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Pharisee way is saying, I don't want to get sullied by people. The Jesus way is hanging out with them in order that they might find the healing of holiness. Jesus didn't worry about his reputation. If he was, he wouldn't meet with the tax collectors and sinners and eat with them. Holiness for him was relational. I'm being holy by being in relationship with people who are far away from God so that they might know God. So if our church is to be like Jesus, what would it look like? We would be the kind of people who hung out with others who were far away from God. You know, these kind of people probably don't use the language that you use, and they use language that you wouldn't use. They'll probably tell stories that, well, you wouldn't tell. They'll probably boast about things that you wouldn't boast about. They probably have habits that are problematic and relationships that are problematic. And if our church is to be like Jesus, then these are the people we hang out with. Not to conform to their ways, but to be Jesus, who went amongst the tax collectors, and he was bleach. You see how the world transformed around him. See, if our church is to be like Jesus, then we'll welcome those kind of people into our church. One of the great things about living in a small town, I love living in Perth, is that you know a lot of people from town. You know people's reputation. If we're going to be like Jesus, and somebody walks into our church with a bad reputation, we're going to welcome them into our midst. That's the Jesus way. It's not our job to change people. It is our job to introduce people to Jesus and help them to become an apprentice to Jesus. He's far more effective at dealing with people's stuff than we are anyways. And as we sit with people in the middle of messy, broken, hard, difficult lives, we become a people who are a transformative agent, where people move towards God. That's who we're called to be like Jesus. See, here's what you need to know about holiness. Holiness is contagious. A lot of people I grew up with thought, well, you got to stay away because sin is contagious. But the power of God trumps the power of evil every time. Holiness is contagious. Now, how you think about yourself matters. So are you people in white skinny jeans? I don't want to get too close to you. You're eating cheesies. And that'll rub off on me. Or are you bleach? Who do you want to be? I would encourage you, take holiness seriously and be like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you take holiness seriously, and as we apprentice to you, we need to take it seriously too. But not in a way where we stay away with people, but in fact in a way where we're around people as your people. Help us to be that kind of church, Lord. A church that walks amongst people and sees them as you see them. Help us be the kind of church like you were, where the tax collectors, the sinners, they loved hanging around you. Help us to be that kind of church too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.